this morning come from Daniel chapter 3 and Daniel chapter 6. These are excerpts from two stories that we'll look at today. Let's look at God's word from Daniel chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And now from chapter 6. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. And the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he had come to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then Daniel said unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they may not hurt, have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, ever they came to the bottom of the den. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of His precious and His eternal Word. If this message is anything this morning, it's an invitation to become a hero. Our world needs heroes. I'm afraid they're far apart and few between in this day and time, but we need heroes, and we don't need imaginary heroes like Superman or Superwoman or whatever. We don't need grotesque heroes that are part animal and part monster and all kinds of things that people are doing today. We need real human heroes, real human beings who really stand up, who really have the power of God in their lives, and who are willing to take the risk and the consequences for their statement of faith. I'm sorry to say that young people are so void of knowledge of Bible stories in this day and time. One of the great joys of my life as a little boy, of course, we had no television for competition, very little radio, had nothing to entertain us except the Bible and reading. And one of the great joys was my mother read to me. She had a Bible story book about that big, and it was thick and had pictures in it, but they weren't great pictures. They were just woodcut imprints. But the great people of the pages of the Bible leapt off of those pages and into my heart. And as we read those stories, Daniel in the lion's den, and the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, and all through the scriptures, heroes of faith who stood up, stood tall, and square for what they believed and suffered the consequences. Now in our stories today, God delivers Daniel from the lion's den, and he delivers the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. But the truth is, my brothers and sisters, more Christians and more followers of God than not have been eaten by the lions and burned up by the fire. We have no promise that God is going to deliver us in this world from the snares of the enemy. We have no promise that they're not going to be able to touch us and extract pain and suffering on us. But we do have a promise that once that's over and we close our eyes, that he has a place for us in his kingdom around the throne of God for eternity. My challenge to you today, my friend, is that you rise up above all that's in this world and you be a strong soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Three Hebrew children were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You met them before with Daniel when they were young boys. Now they're no longer young boys, they're older men, older middle-aged men, in fact, by now. They have been made under Daniel the presidents, sheriffs, or whatever you want to call them, of the province of Babylon. They are the most powerful people in the world other than the king and Daniel and a few other people themselves. And that creates jealousy. And people look at them and they search in their lives to find out if there's anything wrong. And as they search through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's histories and writings, they can't find anything. They haven't stolen anything. They haven't lied. They haven't cheated. They haven't led an insurrection against the king. They haven't disturbed the kingdom in any way. And as they look at it, the question becomes, well, what are we going to charge them with? What are we going to do with them? The king really likes these guys. The king is really into them, and they are really faithful servants. What are we going to do? And somebody says, well, the only thing we got is that they're Jews, and they worship that God. And the only fault we can find in them is that they are faithful to their God and to their religion. So they decide to use that as their Achilles heel. They decide to use that as their weak place, that they can jump on the Hebrew children and bring them down because of that. Now, to their credit, the credit of the devil's crowd, they actually believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is going to be faithful to their testimony. They really believe that they will not fail in their testimony for their God. So they convince the king, oh, how shallow people are, a little flattery, a little talking nice, a little fanning around and attention, and people just crumble up and fall over dead and don't have any stand to stay. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are victims of the king's weakness. And they come to the king, and the 120 some, I think it was, of the sheriffs and satraps and all the names they had for them, 120 of them, they come before the king and they brag on the king and how wonderful he is. And of course the king has an image that he's already seen in a vision, in a night vision. And the head was gold, and Daniel told him that was him, and it just, I am the head of gold. Well, he got carried away and he made a great image, a real one, set it up in the plain where everybody could see it, and made a rule that everybody had to worship it. It was not solid gold. There wouldn't have been enough gold in the world to have made that big of a statue solid gold. There's no doubt a wood statue that was covered with gold. It must have been something to see in the blazing sunlight of Babylon as they looked out and saw it, and this huge statue there. Daniel, our God in the vision, only showed him as a head of gold. He's taken it upon himself to make the whole thing of gold. And there's a law that says that everybody has to worship it. And everybody that don't fall down and worship the gods of Babylon, and especially the God that he has set up of himself in the plain, everybody that don't do that is going to be thrown in a fiery furnace. Now, the furnaces are already there. They're iron smelting furnaces. They're furnaces they've got there to make iron. And he said, everybody that don't fall down and worship before this image is going to be cast into the fiery furnace. And everybody's scared. Nobody wants to die. Nobody has a revelation of heaven. Nobody knows about Jesus Christ and the resurrection. So everybody begins to get on their knees. Till finally, everybody in the whole country of Babylon is on their knees, and you look out over the thing, and there are four things that are standing up. Number one is this colossal 90-foot image of the king that's standing there. But as you look out over the crowd, every man, woman, boy, and girl in the land is down on their knees, groveling before the statue. Yeah, you could say it. Everybody's doing it. I might as well too. Well, mommy, everybody else is doing it. And you could say that because everybody was worshiping the image. Some of them probably thought it was a bunch of hooey. Some of them probably knew it was. But they said, man, we got to live. We don't want to die, so we're going to bow down before this image. Except as you looked out across there are three men who are standing there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not bowing down. We sing about them in church. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. They held on to their testimony. And there they stand out. Well, the king's voice catches his breath because these are his faithful servants. These are his best advisors. These are his best administrators. What's he going to do? He gives them another chance. He says to them, listen, you didn't bow down first time. We're going to play the music again. Oh, Satan's got his music, don't he? Satan has got his tune that he wants you to dance to. And so he says, you know, when you hear the sound of the sackbut and the trumpet and the psaltery, and he names all the cornet, and he names all these instruments, and all of the orchestra of hell plays, then you get down on your knees and worship this image, and everything will be all right. It'll be well. And so they play the music, and the devil's tune wafts out across the plains of Babylon. And they look, and everybody's on their face and on their knees in front of the statue, except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There they stand. And the king, it makes him so mad, because everybody has to obey him. Everybody has to do it his way. Everybody has to do what he says to do. Except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are standing there, and he jumps on them. He said, I'm going to make this furnace 7 times hotter than it is. In fact, as he makes it so hot that the men who ultimately come to throw him in are killed from the heat as they go up to the furnace. Now, the way the furnace works is they've got a ramp up here that comes up, and the iron and ore and whatnot is poured down into it, and the fire, and actually there's a door about halfway down. You can open up and look in and see how the fire's doing. And down at the bottom, they're shoveling out the iron. They used to have kilns like that up at Gold Bond to make lime. The old Kimmelton Lime Company had upright kilns like that. And the men went up on the hill and poured the limestone in the top and the coal and whatnot that they were burning, and then they were down at the bottom shoveling it out by hand. Well, this is the kind of furnaces that they're using in Babylon. And he says, oh, the king just goes in a fit. He says, you're going to do it. Now, somebody's going to say, now, this is a far-fetched thing. Somebody's going to say, isn't this stupid? You don't really believe that story. You don't really believe that some man would actually expect somebody to fall down before him and worship him. You don't really expect to think that an
head of an empire, a man who has not lost a battle, by the way, Nebuchadnezzar hadn't, you just wouldn't really think that. Let me tell you something's going on in America right now. Can I tell you something? There is a Muslim woman in Minnesota, I think, who is a congresswoman. And she is creating all kinds of hell, making fun of Jews and cutting down on Jews and cutting down on Christianity, cutting down on everything that's of Christ. Do you know what they passed out in the public schools in Minnesota? They passed out a coloring book page of her in a devotional manner, and they're to color it and look at it, and they're indoctrinating. This is in the United States of America, folks. Which one of you is going down to the schoolhouse and take your kid out and get your match out and burn that thing right in the teacher's face? They're handing it out in the schools, a devotional page to this congresswoman who wants you to bow. Folks, do you know where you're living? You're living in a day and age that we're going to have a call for heroes who are going to stand up and say what needs to be said and fight the fight that needs to be fought. Yes, everybody's going to be bowing down before the images of the beast, and some people are going to be standing and take a stand. May God give us the grit in our crawl and the steel in our backbone to stand up and be counted and take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what the world says, no matter what's going on. Amen. And there are worldly-minded churches who are like Christ, said many will come in the last days, and they'll say, I am Christ, and they will deceive many. And we have worldly-minded churches who are going right along with the little program that the devil's got, and the little Muslim program, and the little atheist program, and the denominational churches are just paddling right along, just like little old men on their way to this gas chamber in the Holocaust, my friend. They're handing themselves over to the devil. And my friend, we've got to stand. Ministers have got to stand. Heads of denominations have got to stand. Lay people have got to stand. We've got to decide, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that we're going to take a stand. And you say, well, I'm getting old, and I hope you are, because if you're not, you're dead. Amen? So complain about getting old all we want to. There is an alternative to it. So you ought to be thankful. You're here and you're able to do something. At any rate, there was this fellow Daniel who was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's buddy, leader, if you will, pastor probably, if you get right down to it. And he leads the faithful people who are in Babylon to worship God. He leads by reading the scriptures and praying and fasting. And he is the third most powerful person in the whole kingdom. He would be the prime minister, if you please, if he was in England. And Daniel has a problem. They're jealous of him too. And guess what they can find wrong with him? Same deal. Can't find anything wrong. He has a reputation that will not quit. He doesn't steal. He doesn't lie. He doesn't cheat. He doesn't run around on his wife. He doesn't. There's nothing they can accuse him with except him and that God of his. He's always on about that God. And we sing about it. Oh, Daniel served a living God while here upon the earth he trod. He prayed to God every morning, noon, and night. He cared not for the things of Baal, but trusted God who never failed. Oh, Daniel prayed every morning, noon, and night. Now, my friend, that's all they could find wrong. That every morning, Daniel opened his window toward Jerusalem, which means he's looking to the west. And he opens his window, and he gets down on his knees, and he prays to his God. And he comes in at lunch to get his lunch. And he'd been down at the palace or the capital or somebody doing the king's business. And he gets down on his knees, and he opens his window toward Jerusalem, and he prays again. And he comes in and he eats his supper. And before he goes to bed that night, he opens his window and he toward Jerusalem. He gets down on his knees and he prays to his God. That's the only thing I can find wrong with Daniel. He prays three times every day. He reads the book that they brought with him from Israel. And every day he does that. So they say to the king, and this is not Nebuchadnezzar now, this is Darius the second. They say to the Darius, they say, Darius, we want to unify the kingdom. We need something because everybody's disunified. Somebody's over here worshiping this God, and somebody's over here worshiping this God, and somebody's over here doing this, and it divides the kingdom. So we need to unite everybody. So the king makes it a rule that for 30 days you cannot worship anyone except him. There we go again. That's what the Antichrist is going to do in the end. He set himself up in the temple in Jerusalem, by the way, and everybody will have to bow down before the Antichrist. And you listen to what I'm saying, the Antichrist very well may be living in this world right now, somewhere in the Middle East. I don't know. But he may very well be living right now in the world. You're standing on a powder keg called Earth that's fixing to blow up. And my friend, it needs some heroes to stand up in it. And I'm convinced God's got some people out there that they're not necessarily the big rowdy ones that are in the streets, but I'm convinced God's got some people out here that can stand up. And Daniel's one of them people in his day and time. And they bring Daniel before the king, and all the king knows what a stupid thing he's done now. Because Daniel's his friend, Daniel's his best advisor, Daniel's his most trusted person, and he has been persuaded to pass laws. How can you persuade a king to pass a law that anybody that didn't worship him is going to be thrown into the lion's den? They keep this place full of lions that are half hungry all the time. And if you don't do right, they throw you in there, and you know what happens the rest of it. You don't need a description of that. And Daniel, only fault he has is that he prays and serves his God. In fact, as the king says, he serves him continuously. That's the testimony of the king. And the king knows how stupid he's been. You say, how in the world could you ever get anybody to pass a stupid law like that? Let me ask you this. How on earth could a bunch of free Christian people be persuaded to pass a law to kill all the unborn babies and the other babies when they're born alive and call it a Christian nation? If you think that's an idiotic thing that they did in the days of Darius, my friend, the United States of America is making an idiot of itself in the scope of international thing. And we see, my friend, that the time is winding up. And they bring Daniel before the king, and there's nothing he can do. They also got a law. Boy, I'm glad we don't have that law. The law over there is once the king says it's a law, it can't be changed. Nothing can change the law of the Medes and the Persians. Once the king passes it, it has to be carried out like it says, and even the king cannot change it. So they've got Darius between a rock and a hard place, and he has no choice but to open the mouth of the den of lions and to throw Daniel in. Oh, by the way, if you think you're too old to do something for God, he's 84 years old. He's an old dude. He's not a kid. He's not a young fella. He's 84 years old. And he's taken a stand for his God. Now, the king would like to have gotten out of that some way, but he can't. So they have to take him, and they open the lion's den. And the king has a lot of faith, really, in Daniel's God. And he said, I just know your God is going to be able to deliver you. I just know he is. And so they throw Daniel in. Of course, he has to slide down the chute kind of a thing into the lion's den. And they roll a stone and they seal it. And the king goes home and he stays up all night. He can't sleep. He can't eat. He can't listen to music. He can't do anything. He stays up all night and he worries. And soon as daybreak the next day, here comes the king. Darius is up and out and down to the mouth of the lion's den. And he says, roll a stone away so I can see in it. And they roll it away and he hollers down there. And the Bible said he hollered in a lamentable voice. He's crying. He said, Daniel, Daniel, is your God whom you serve continuously able to deliver you out of the fiery furnace, out of the lion's den? Big old voice from an 84-year-old man comes resounding back up there. He said, oh, king, live forever. Wishes him hell. How many of you could do that to the man who just threw you in the lion's den 12 hours beforehand? Wish him well. Wish him to live forever. Said, oh, king, live forever. My God. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. And he said, I have had a good night down here. And he's probably said, oh, Leo, lay down over here and let your soft mane make me a pillar here. And he spent the night in the lion's den. Spent the night in there. And the next morning he gets up and they open the bottom door. And out comes this old fella, 84 years old. And oh, he is just doing his thing and saying, my God is able. My God has delivered. My God is the God who has power over the lions. I have to ask you today, look at the attitude. Look at the attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel in the lion's den. Look at the attitude of these men. When they come before God, you know, I hear these TV evangelists and people talking all the time, and they talk about God talking to them just like I'm walking over here and talking to Wally. They talk like it's just a drink of water. I was at the breakfast table this morning. You know, the Lord told me to do so and so, and the Lord told me to do so and so. I have people all the time tell me the Lord told them to do so and so, and they're just on conversational terms with the Lord. They just have these conversations with him, and he talks to them, and then they go out and just live any kind of way. And I'm going, Daniel is a man above reproach, beyond reproach. And you know what about Daniel? When he comes before the angel of the Almighty God and Gabriel comes from heaven, they have to get him up. He's on his face. When Daniel gets before God, his attitude toward God is one of submission, and he falls on his face and lays on the ground on his face before the living God, and he has to raise him up before he gets up. But when he comes before man, Daniel stands up, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they say, we are not careful to answer you in this thing, king. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to go home and formulate a letter. We're going to tell you whether our God delivers us or not. We don't know. We don't know whether God's going to choose to deliver us out of the fire or out of the lions or not. But we know one thing. Whatever you do is not enough to make us bow. We are not going to give in. We are not going to surrender. We are not going to bow down. We are going to take our stand for our God and stand forever. Now, my friend, that's the attitude that makes heroes. That's the attitude that makes heroes. Before God, I am prostrate with my face on the ground. Before man, I'm standing tall for what belongs to God. Think about it, my friend. You see, they didn't go the way the crowd went. The crowd bowed down before the statues. The crowd bowed down before the king. But Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, my friend, took their stand and took a tie. You see, they won't bow. Said, yeah, God may deliver us. And God may not deliver us. But whether we burn or whether we walk out of here. Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, we're not going to do it. We're not going to give in. When's the last time you're willing to take a stand for God? What will it cost you? We're not careful. We don't have to be cautious about it. We don't have to think about it. You see, we will serve God the way we always have. Is your God whom you can serve continuously? Is your God whom you pray to every day? Is your God whom you serve as before? Is he there? Do you have a history of God? Do you have a history of prayer in your life? You see, the question is today,
Suppose that happened today. You say, oh, that can't happen. Well, if they're passing out papers in a public school of devotional pages for little children to color of a congresswoman who's fighting against God and against the Hebrew people, my friend, what more can happen? What do you think can happen? If the governor of Virginia can say it's all right to take a baby from a mother who is breathing and squirming and living and lay it over here and decide later on whether you're going to let it die or whether you're going to save it, my friend, if that kind of thing can happen in this country, have mercy on us, God. Amen. Have mercy on us, God. I mean, you got to think about this, my friend. So today, is there enough in your history to find you guilty enough to be a hero? If it was brought to the vote today and you had to stand before the jury of this world, would they find you guilty of serving your God continuously? Would they find you guilty of being every day a prayer warrior of God? Would you stand the test? Would you be able to stand the test? Would you be able to stand up? Or would you cave in? When everybody else bowed, would you stand? When everybody else mocked at God, would you bow before God and make Him the Lord of your life? And I need to ask you today, not only is the Lord your Savior, but is He your Lord? Is He your Lord? Is He in charge of your life? Have you given over everything to Him and let Him be in charge of your life? My friend, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they're heroes in the book of Daniel. They're heroes out of the Holy Bible. Are you made out of hero stuff today? Have you got hero stuff with inside of you? Have you ever had to take a stand where it cost you something? Cost me my job once to take a stand. I lost my job in Blacksburg because of taking a stand for the Lord. You say you might get beat. Yes, we might get beat. I've been slapped a few times, had rocks thrown at me, and been called all kinds of nice names. And say, oh, nobody would do that. Well, I'm afraid to have. I'm afraid to have, my friend. They've been in the pulpit after us and all kinds of things, and all kinds of things happened. And I've heard I said things that I don't have any recollection of at all that people talk about. People say he said this or he did that, and I don't know anything about it. It never happened that I know of. My question is, am I a hero today? Am I going to take a stand today? I can't testify for today on all that's happened before in life. I can't. That's water over the dam. I want to know if I'm standing today. I want to know if I'm going to be God's hero today. I want to know if I'm going to be the person that's going to make the difference today. Sometimes one person can make a difference. Sometimes one person can stand up and make the difference. But I find that we bow too quick, my friend. We're such wimps in America when it comes to the gospel. Have you noticed how unpopular it is to be a Christian, to say you're a Christian? When you say you're, particularly if you're a fundamentalist, Bible-believing, straightforward, old-fashioned Christian, my friend, then you get wound up being a hate monger, and you're a person that's given hate speeches. And they tell me that my sermons are hate speeches in Canada, and if I was there, they would cut them off and would not let me preach because in the radio and television. Because I would be preaching hate. That's not true, and you know it's not, and God knows it's not, but that's what they throw at us today. Well, I don't know how big a hero I'm going to be, or could be, or will be, or might be, but I want to have the right stuff in me. Whatever's going on, I want to have the right stuff in me. And you say, well, you might die, I might die. You say, you might get beat up, I might get beat up. It could happen to any of us, not just preachers, but it's more likely to happen to people like me. But I have to tell you, my friend, heaven will surely be worth it all. Don't you know that's the truth? Worth all the trials and troubles here below. Oh, my friend, the winds of this world are going to blow. The nations are going to rise and fall. But my friend, in the end, the God of heaven, whoo, glory. Whoa. In the end, the God of heaven is going to prevail. We'll go with Daniel next week.
and watch the income. Right now, have you got the stuff in you that it takes to be a hero for Christ? Jerry Falwell said, we're raising up champions for Christ. All right, that's good. We're asking for heroes for Christ. Will you stand? Will you be guilty? Yes, stand down. But will you stand in the hour that we need to be before God? Father, I thank you this morning for the challenging testimony that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have left us. And I thank you, Father, that we've got even more than they had to stand with. I thank you that we've got the Holy Ghost within our vessels, filling us and strengthening us. And I pray, God, that the Spirit of Jesus Christ will be here this morning to challenge this audience, the radio audience, and the audience on the internet, wherever they are, to stand up and be a hero for Christ. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.